Hi, Miranda. Thank you for joining me today. Just to begin, would you tell me about yourself? How old are you? Where do you live? And what do you do?
I'm 45, just turned 45. I live in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I live in a tent. And right now I'm working for Advantage Services, which is a homeless run. Well, okay, the people that work there are basically housing challenged. And they, all the like owner and all the management have actually been in our situation. So they help us to get back up on our feet.
Are you from the Salt Lake area?
I got stuck here in 2012. I stopped here for gas and I never was able to get out of here.
How long have you been unhoused?
So I was actually just discussing this. So the 11 years I've been here, I've only been housed four. I've been unsheltered the rest of the time. And I was unsheltered in Colorado beforehand because it's just difficulty of managing the budget and finding affordable housing and just the struggles of it all.
So which term should we be using? What term do you prefer? Housing challenged, unhoused, homeless?
Somebody actually said unconventionally housed, and I thought that was actually kind of fitting because I do have a home. It's just a tent. Sometimes it's a structure made out of tarps and wood, you know, but I do have a place to call home.
What are the circumstances or series of events that led you to being housing challenged or, shall we say, unconventionally housed?
So when I stopped here, I left with my boyfriend and my son from Colorado. We went to Oregon to start it. He already had a job. Then when we got there, they wouldn't house all three of us at the shelter. Either he could be there or me and my son could be there. And the other person had to be 20 miles away, and he didn't think that would be a good fit. So we were coming back to Colorado, and we were going back to Colorado. Stopped here so that we didn't, you know, so we could get gas money to work labor ready back when labor ready was there. Fuel pump went out in the car, and he got a job, and then we split up, and then I just kind of ended up here. I was housed for a while, and then some false charges got me to lose my home, got housed again, and had a falling out with my landlord around the same time that COVID hit and my son was fighting for his life. And with all of it, I ended up losing my home again, my apartment again. And now I'm just trying to get back on my feet and it's really, really hard.
And you're living outside in a tent community?
Yes. Well, right now I am because, you know, they come and they do sweeps on a regular basis and they throw away everything you own. And so basically then you start all over again. Problem is there's not enough shelter space and there's not enough housing, affordable housing for us.
Can you talk about what those sweeps are? The government comes in and what happens?
So the mayor, it used to be where the health department would come in and they found like biohazards, you know, people not using proper, you know, waste facilities or too much trash. And then they'd give us 24 hours notice and then they'd come in and so we had 24 hours to get our stuff out. They've stopped doing the warnings. They're doing what they call rapid relocation, where the cops come in with the clean team and they give you 10 minutes and then they start throwing everything away. And because they made a law that you can't pitch a tent in Salt Lake County. The problem is there's, at last count last year, there was 30,551 homeless in Salt Lake County and there's only 1,100 shelter beds at max capacity. So that leaves a lot of us with nowhere to go. And we can't pitch tents, so they just really keep relocating us. So we move from place to place, never knowing exactly when we're going to be swept or if we're going to come home and find everything gone or not. So it's very difficult. And in this cold weather, it's even worse.
How do you stay warm?
It's all a matter of like how do you insulate your tent. You have to put insulation on the bottom, you know, because the ground will suck the heat out of you. You put insulation on the outside, like sheets, blankets, tarps, Visqueen, because tarps are porous, Visqueen's not. You try to trap it in there, but then you have some kind of heater. You'd rather be hand sanitizer, we burn. We do propane a lot, but you have to be careful with the propane because you have to vent it or else you can asphyxiate yourself. Or if there's a leak, you can actually burn your tent down. Hand sanitizer, if you knock it over, it'll spill. We use sternos, hand warmers in your blankets. Pretty much we try to pack a bunch of people in a tent when it's really, really cold. A lot of people get animals, you know, to help cuddle with them at night to keep warm. It's a just constant battle. They have emergency shelters. Like there's one open right now because we are in the teens and single digits. So they open up where it's an all-night movie night, technically not a shelter. And you could stay there from 8 to 8.
Are you completely outside right now or are you in some sort of shelter at the moment?
Right now I'm in the greenhouse at the Wasatch Gardens Community Garden Farm for the Green Phoenix program. So I graduated the program and so I came here because it's a nice quiet space. Because I was figured my tent would be too dark and being outside would be too bright and too cold.
When housed people encounter people who are unhoused or housing challenged on the street, a lot of people wonder what to do. You know, people feel conflicted. Do I give this person money? How can I help? What would you say to someone who's wondering these things?
Number one thing, don't treat us differently than anybody else. Say hello. If we say hello back. Don't cross the street. Don't act like we're diseased or inflicted. I mean, I'm not unhoused because I want to be unhoused. I'm unhoused because of situations I couldn't control. And trying to keep it a job when you're homeless is really hard too because there's no way to charge your phones or something. So yeah, there are some of those that defecate on the streets or they're drug addicts or the people that are mentally ill that don't have anywhere to go. But not all of us are here by choice. We're all struggling. And the thing is, if you treat us like we're nothing, we start to become nothing or believe that we're nothing because, you know, the way people treat you is how you become, you start to feel about yourself. So just treat us like we're normal. Treat us like we're regular people. I'm not big on the panhandling because if I'm an able-bodied person, I should be working. But sometimes it's a matter of eating. That's up to your own discretion. But if it's cold, come out with hot chocolate. Come out with a blanket, hand warmers. Just something like that. I mean, that means a lot because it shows us that we're human just like you. We're all the same. You know, we're all, when it comes straight down to it, you know, at the end of the day, when we go to this door, we're all going to take the same thing with us, only ourselves. And, you know, we just want to be treated like we're okay. It hurts a lot when people like look down at you or they mistreat you or they can't say hi back to you, you know, or they cross the street. I mean, you're like, you start to feel like you're like a leper. We're just people. You know, come talk to us. You know, sometimes you can learn a lot just by talking to somebody. And sometimes we just need somebody to talk to because we're alone. We end up isolating ourselves because we're embarrassed, because we're ashamed, because we struggle. And there's some of us that just don't want to ask for help because we're not sure how to ask somebody for help. It was very difficult telling my family that I was homeless again, especially when I had my son with me and stuff. I mean, it's a struggle just to even face, you know, just regular people, your family. I mean, how do we face strangers? I mean, just treat us like we're okay.
Is your family able to help at all, or is there anyone you feel comfortable going to?
They figured I put myself here, I can get myself out. I mean, they give me, you know, I talk to them sometimes. I mean, it's a very strained relationship with my family. Sometimes because I'm homeless, but sometimes it's just the history of the past, you know. And that's just another reason why some people end up homeless is because, you know, if you have a strained relationship with your family and friends, or, you know, basically your family, when you get into a tight spot, you can't ask them for help to, hey, you know, can you help me out with my rent this month? Because they think the wrong thing and they won't help you. And then you end up losing your place or whatever. It's a hard cycle. Because, I mean, if I had a better relationship with my parents, I could have asked them, hey, can you help me out with rent? Because my son's in the hospital and they might have helped me. But because of the strain, then that's where you end up here. Lack of support group is, you know, what keeps us on the street too. I got lucky with Wasatch Gardens. I did.
But you're a leader within your community and you're providing support for other unhoused people living on the street. Can you talk about how that came to be?
A lot of people will look to me like a mom because people call me a hoarder and they say you have too much stuff. But the thing is if you need a blanket, you know, you can come to me. I'd rather have us both each have one blanket than me be really warm and you'd be freezing. So I will give anything and everything that I have possible. And I have contact with some really awesome people that I can, if I need supplies in an emergency situation, I can call them. They'll help me find the supplies for people. Right now I'm at the Coconut Hut, which is part of the community garden that I graduated from. It's a program to help women, chronically homeless women, get off the streets. They helped me to get back into the workforce and get retrained to how to work. And I moved on to Advantage Services, but she has a Coconut Hut, which has blankets and hand sanitizer and clothing and pretty much everything we need. I have those resources where I can contact people.
How is it that you gain trust of people in your community?
I'm just there if they need me. It's just, you know, because like when you're a stranger, everybody looks suspiciously like, what are they going to do? Because there is some thieving that goes on. But when people are desperate and they're freezing, you know, they don't know how to ask for help. They're going to take the help that they need. And so I was just like, people like, hey, if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, you know, if you need something, come ask me. If I can't supply it, I'll help you. And the people saw me helping this person, helping that person. And then they started spreading the word. And so, you know, basically it became just talking to people and slowly gaining their trust. It's difficult at times. I mean, you're never sure who you can trust on the streets because you might think that you can trust somebody and they turn on you. But we're all in the same boat. We're all suffering. You know, we don't help each other, then who's going to help us, you know? We got to band together and help each other so we all survive instead of just some of us surviving.
Have you seen people get off the street and stay off the street? And how have they done it?
Yes. My friend Petey, she's in her place and she's doing really well. Through the community gardens, there's a lot of people that went through the Wasatch Community Gardens Green Phoenix program and they're on the streets. I've seen people that when given the right chance, get the right case manager, but the case managers are overloaded right now. They get places and they stay out. main thing you got to learn is that if you get up, if you leave the streets, you got to leave the streets behind. And that's where people, because this is all we know. There's no real retraining how to be a member of society, because we've been in survival mode for so long. It's kind of, it's hard to get out of that survival mode. Flight or freeze. And that's what we live in on a constant basis, because we're never, never sure what's going to happen. The Advantage Services is a very good program for us, because they mainly employ people in our, in my situation. And they basically give you a slow income and get you back into the workforce. And they, you know, they kind of help retrain you to get into a job, because it's hard to go from doing nothing to doing the job and being okay. So there's a couple of different programs that when people go through it, like all the people at Advanced Services in the management positions have all been where I'm at. She, Jared's been off the streets for like 15 years. James has been off the streets for several years also. I mean, like the owner, he was on the streets at one point in time and he got off of them. They're motivators. They're good motivators, because, you know, when you start to feel down and you start to feel like, you know, I just can't do this. Like, oh, come on, you got this. You know, I do have an addiction problem that I suffer with, and I can call them and they'll help encourage me not to use and just keep on. Yep, you got to come to work. You know, we got some stuff in the shop to do. Why don't you come in here instead of doing that? You know, so they keep me focused on what's important. And that's what we need. We need people to help keep us focused, you know, and not treat us like we're our issue. Whatever issue that put us on the streets, we're not that issue. We're a person that suffers from that issue. I've developed a really good support group, and I'm trying to turn around and be that support group to other people in the community, encourage them to come and fly and help find their jobs and get to the Coconut Hut and places like that.
Sounds like you feel hopeful then.
I have hope for all of us. I mean, who's the most famous homeless person ever? Jesus. There's always been homelessness, and there's always going to be homelessness. If we treat the homeless as part of our community and part of our society, then they're going to be able to integrate back into society easier. Instead of isolating us, because if you isolate us, then how do we get back into, you know, if you're separate, how do you get past that fence? You know, we got to get rid of the fences.
So you say there's not really training for how to be part of society again. What sort of assistance would be the most helpful? What sort of training do you need?
So, okay, so when you don't have a schedule, okay, you're not used to getting up at a certain time. We have the problem where there's no place to really charge our devices. Anywhere we go and charge, they end up putting locks on them. All the restaurants basically taking out their plugs. Because like you go and buy a meal, you used to be able to plug in and like charge your stuff. Well, they're not letting us do that. You have to have some place to charge so that we can get up on time. See, the Great Phoenix program helped me with that, because there was times like I woke up late and I came in and they were under, you know, they were, it wasn't immediately you're fired. They would talk to me, they coached me, and they'd say, okay, what can we do? They got me an alarm clock that had batteries, and they made sure that I had batteries in my alarm clock. So if I couldn't charge my phone, then I had that. I was able to charge at work, or I was able to charge the phones here and my portables. So I made sure I had that. But, you know, even interacting with people, because there's that stigma on the homeless and people treat us a certain way. And so we're all constantly on guard. When you go into a new workplace, you still have that guard up, because those are the people that have been ridiculing or hurting you. So it's hard for you to interact with them properly. And that, I think that's the biggest thing, is that when you're treated different, you act different. We're treated the same and we act the same. So people need to be understanding, like, okay, this person is in this situation, and let's treat them just like everybody else. Don't treat them like they're homeless. Don't treat them like they're different. Treat them like humans. And if they were treated like humans, then we act more like humans, and then we can integrate easier. I think, yeah, programs like the Green Phoenix Program or Advantage Services, places like that where they know and understand our situation. If you don't understand the true inner person and your true heart of homelessness, which is the individual person, you can't help them, you know, because we're all just people that have suffered a loss. Sometimes a fire. There's people that are out here because their house started on fire. They lost everything, you know, because they had no savings. Some people have gotten sick. And so the breadwinner got sick and they ended up homeless. So you have to treat us as individual humans and not like a stereotype. And then by working with us individually, we can integrate back into society better, because we don't have that guard up. As long as we keep the guard up, and you guys have the guard, you have that stigmatism, you're going to have those judgments. As long as there's judgment either way, we're not going to be able to integrate back. So it's just, people have to understand that we're just like them. We just need to have, we need a hand up, not a hand out. Because giving out money is, well, great, you know, but the thing is that'll feed us for a day. If you have work, right, you know, even just saying, hey, can I pick you up and you can work in my garden? Little things like that the community you do. I'm going to pick you up at 8 o'clock and you're going to come work in my garden. To get it ready, or do some lawn work for me. You know, try to help us integrate easily, because we're not always going to be on time at first, because we're not used to it. We have to get a schedule and a routine done. And if we're having issues, talk to us. Say, okay, listen, what is it? What are the things that you need to do in the morning before you come to work? So let's do a time frame for each of these. Work with us. Just talk to us. You know, sometimes we don't do well, too well with time management. We don't do well with budgeting because we live by the seat of our pants. Communicating with us and, you know, like listening to us and just being aware of who we are and what we're doing and what we're trying to do. Because like people give up on us way too easy, and then we give up on ourselves.
So you work at Advantage Services. Can you describe what you do?
So Advantage Services, so I went to the Green Phoenix Sausage Garden program where Advantage Services paid our wages. So I was already technically an employee with them, and I talked to them and they said, hey, we need drivers for the winter shuttles. So basically when I graduated the program, I just basically went, just kind of transferred over, and I drive shuttles. So I drive people. I work 7 days a week, or 4:45 in the morning to like 8:45 in the morning. And I pick up people from the Overflow Mill Creek shelter, and I take them downtown to the Wiggins Center, which is a day shelter. When I work nights, I take them from the Wiggins Center, and I take them back out to the Mill Creek shelter. I've also done maintenance with them because they have several contracts with the city. So Valley Mental Health has a bunch of apartment complexes for the mentally challenged. And I help to like change their light bulbs and, fix their sinks and things like that. I've done that. I've done part of the clean team where I would go around to the camps and we pick up all the trash and the garbage, pick up the trash along the streets. You know, there's a bunch of different things they have me do. And so I've kind of turned, I did power washing the streets, when one of the trucks got stuck in that mud on the streets, we power wash it to make sure that it wasn't getting spotted up on people's cars and mess it up. So they have a contract with the city, and whatever I can get involved with, I try to get involved with them. Because, I mean, for the most part, it's part-time work and it's not the best paid, but I'm getting up there every day, I'm going to work, and I'm starting to develop a routine of being back into society.
Can you talk about what you did before in your life, before this bout of homelessness?
Mainly, I was like, since 2016, I've been working with the International Alliance of Theatrical and Stage Employees, which is IATSE. It's been around for forever. We are your local stagehands. We set up the trade show, like outdoor retailer, auto shows, boat shows. We set up all the boat booths for them. We also do the theater, Nutcracker. So there's different venues, and we do concerts. I did Ozzy, I did Smashing Pumpkins, I did Andrea Bocelli. So I was doing that. So working at all the conventions and the different concert halls. I was also like doing side jobs of like, I had like a second job at Carl's Jr., Burger King, things like that to make the income. But I asked these where I made most of my money.
Is there anything else that you want people to know about homelessness and what people are experiencing or your experience?
The hardest is to sweep. It's hard to get up on my feet when I'm constantly rebuilding. Donations up. Cash is nice, but the thing is if you want to help somebody, find out what they need. Say, what do you need right now? I need a tarp. I need a green propane tank. And get them that so that you know the money is going to what you want them to go to. There are a lot of mentally ill on the streets. Don't yell at them. Don't throw things at them. Don't honk your horn in the middle of the night when you go by a camp. Don't shoot up guns or ear pistols. Don't shoot BBs at us because we've had BB shot at us. A lot of us are struggling just trying to get up off our feet. I mean, people go to labor ready and they don't work. When you don't have a fixed address, people don't want to, hire you. We don't always have a phone to get jobs. I mean, so we're trying, okay? Just know that a lot of us are trying to get out of where we're at. And just treat us like normal human beings. I mean, if you want to help us, talk to us. You know, out of all the times that I've been homeless, only one time has a group come to actually help at our camp. They actually sat down and they broke bread with us. It was the Mennonites. They actually came up and they sat down and they didn't just give us a meal. They had a meal with us. Mm-hmm. So they sat down, they ate and they talked and they sang, some songs to us. But they made us a part of their community and they made us a part of them. As long as we feel a part of something, we're going to act like it. If we don't feel a part of something, we feel a part, we're not going to act, we just want to belong again. We just want to be a part of the community again. Give us an option. If you have work to do, come out. Don't hire somebody that's going to, come and say, offer us work, if you need extra work. Be careful, because, there's always those ones, but just remember there's mountains they say, but there are people that are suffering from addiction, and addiction is hard. And when you live out on the streets, it becomes harder to fight your addiction. Don't call us names. Don't yell at us. Don't scream at us. Some people got to go out and you see somebody and you just actually go talk to them. You can find out a lot about them and their situation. And sometimes if you just have one person believe in you, like I have, I've been struggling. I'm going 7 years here in Salt Lake City. I'm finally now getting on my feet because I have Ren from Trail of Love. I have Ksenia. I have Wendy from Unsheltered Utah and the other groups. I have Coco. I have the farm. I have the Farmily, which is like graduates that, when I'm struggling and I just say something, they just say, we believe in you. Sometimes it's just a matter of somebody saying, I believe in you and I believe you can do this. That gives you hope again. Because without hope, there's no reason to get out of bed. Don't steal our stuff. Don't burn down our tents. Don't, we pick up, if you have a bunch of trash bagged up, don't come and destroy it. Just, you know, just be nicer, you know, be kinder. And we all need to be, you know, we need to be kinder to you guys too, because I know a lot of us get like, well, what do you want? You know, we get attitude, but we live in fight or flight. I mean, we live in a constant state of anxiety. We're afraid, you know, we live in fear. I mean, there's bad people out there that do bad things to homeless. When you find friends in the, you know, frozen next to you, or you find bodies in the, or, you know, bodies of people out of the river, you know, that you know them. It's scary. I mean, we just want to live and we just want to survive and we just want to belong. Any way that you can help us feel that way would be helpful. A lot of us, you know, a lot of us are bored, and when we're bored, you know, we sometimes get in trouble. But, you know, if you have volunteer opportunities, hand out the information to the homeless. You know, say, hey, listen, if you guys want any volunteer, we got this volunteer thing going on. You'll be amazed at how many people will step up and just help out with the community if there's something to do. Because we don't want to just sit around and just rot. We want to do things. We want to get up. And every little bit helps. Yeah, you got volunteer opportunities. Go find, you know, go down to like the local shelters and be like, hey, yeah, anybody want to volunteer to do something? Anybody want something to do today? Yeah, give them a cheeseburger and they'd be happy, you know? Yeah. Well, not, you know, a lot of us would be happy just to have like, a, you know, a warm meal if you're, you know, for volunteering for anything. They were helpful. Every little bit that people do helps. And just people driving by and just saying hi and bringing hot chocolate. I mean, sometimes you can't do much, you know, because, you know, but anytime that you treat us like we're human, I'm grateful for it, and I appreciate it, and a lot of us appreciate it.
Miranda, thank you so much for sharing your experiences with me today and for speaking with such honesty. I wish you all the best in your journey. Good luck with everything.
I appreciate you for, you know, like wanting to get to the individual heart of something. Once people realize that we're just people like that just want to be, we just want to be a part of it again. We just want to be part of it. We just don't know how to get there. There's a gap between where we're at and where we want to be. And anybody that can help fill in that gap is going to build a bridge that's going to take a lot of people across. And we need a hand up, not a hand out. Grab us and pull us forward, you know, encourage us, just love us. I just want our world to be a happier place. And I want to belong in it again.